This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
What's the address of your emergency?
Waukesha County Millennium, transferring over a caller on Big Bend at the dead end just south of Rivera.
Okay.
She came upon a 12-year-old female. She appears to be stabbed.
She appears to be what?
Stabbed.
Stabbed?
Correct.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Hi, sir. So are you with this 12-year-old female?
Yeah, she says she's having trouble breathing. She said she was stabbed multiple times.
Stabbed multiple times?
Yes.
Okay, sir, are you with her right now?
Yes.
Is she awake?
She's awake.
Is she breathing?
Yeah, she's breathing. She said she can take shallow breaths. She's alert.
Okay, stay with her. We're sending the police department. Don't hang up, okay?
Oh.
Hold on just a minute. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on just a minute, sir. We're sending officers.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And I'm Ben.
You just heard the 911 phone call from a Good Samaritan who came upon 12-year-old Peyton Lutner, who had just been stabbed 19 times by her two best friends, Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weir. And this is known as a Slenderman killing. And the Slenderman, this is actually... The Slenderman, if you take it away from the stabbing and everything, is actually really, you know, a fascinating story. It's fictional, of course. It came off of this website called Creepypasta Wiki. I guess it's a bunch of, I've never actually really played around on it, but it's like a collection of a bunch of different kind of horror stories. And somebody made up this Slenderman, and he kind of, you know, how fascinating things take on a life of their own. Well, he certainly did. And basically Slenderman is, I mean, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and he's really, for all of you Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans, if you'll remember the episode called Hush, when none of them could talk and like the guys who are going around doing all the killing, that's what he reminds me of, except this guy doesn't have a face. It's just like he has like this clay-shaped head almost. He's really tall, like 14 feet tall, very, very slender, obviously, hence the name Slenderman. Wears a black suit with black tie. In some versions, he has these tentacles that are coming out of his back that I don't know what they're for, like for capturing something, or just they look creepy, whatever. I mean, he looks like an octopus, kind of, sort of. But not really. But the thing with him is he has these things apparently called proxies, which from what I gathered are kind of like servants. And if you're a Slenderman proxy, you get to live with him in Slenderman Mansion, which is supposedly in this national forest. I guess it's in Wisconsin. I'm not real sure. But in order to be one of his proxies, you have to kill somebody. And other stories, there's some really crazy stories associated with Slenderman. Like if you start researching him, he knows who you are, and like he can teleport and he has telepathy, and then he'll come stalk you. And there's actually a quote underneath one of the pictures on the side that says, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." And underneath it said, 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. Which, again, is fictional. These are fictional stories. Now, how this plays into the stabbing of Peyton is her two best friends, Morgan and Anissa, 12 also at this time. This is back in 2014. They, for whatever reason, believe that Slenderman was actually real, that, you know, this was something that was actually happening. He was really out there, and they thought it would be fun to be one of his proxies. So Morgan, from what I read, suggested that in order, you know, for them to do that, they had to kill somebody. So she picked her best friend since the fourth grade, Peyton. And throughout the interrogation and other things, the only reason that she gave for choosing Peyton was because it was necessary. Okay, well, that's, yeah.
Necessary, so, like, easy and convenient, or, like, necessary, like,
well,
she's a wackadoodle.
We're going to find out a little bit later that she's not mentally sane. And Morgan, and you may know more about this than I do. I mean, they both were diagnosed with mental defects. You know, they, especially with the court proceedings, they initially pled not guilty because of mental defect at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because they both genuinely believed that this guy was real. I know Morgan did, because she's the one who's not really... Well, she apparently had like early onset schizophrenia, is what was later diagnosed as a 12-year-old, which is, which you said was very rare.
Yeah, super rare.
And Anissa, I sometimes wonder if she actually did believe in this, or if she was just kind of got caught up in the story some.
Yeah, you know, I remember like in my youth, having a group of friends, and we made up several characters of villains that we said were like stalking us all in our neighborhoods, and we were weird kids, and we made up these stories, and I think we all knew they weren't real, right? Like, but they still gave you a little bit of fear, because you got it's not real to me, but what if this dude really is stalking her, type of thing going. But like, I can't see any sort of childhood, I mean, and they're preteen, right? They're not super young, but I can't see any sort of childhood fantasy that would lead you to the point of murder.
No, I mean, I think because we did the same thing when we were younger, you know, especially me, who's always had a love of the paranormal and ghosts and things like that. I used to scare the hell out of my brother and sister and my little cousin, which was super fun to me. I probably would have told him about Slenderman and sent him into the woods to go look for him, but.
Right. And you get kind of caught up in the fantasy, but you know, it's not real.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, my brother and sister and cousin at the time, you know, cause they were like
young,
8, 6, and 4. Yeah. They thought it was real, but you know, me being older, I obviously did not, but I mean, yeah, you get caught up in stuff like that, but I, like you said, I can't imagine going so far as to saying, okay, I want to join this dude's cult and, you know, kill my best friend to get into it. I don't think I could ever, would ever take it that far. And I'm sure most people wouldn't.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess Anissa probably did have some kind of mental defect to, you know, to an extent. It's just odd. Anissa, I don't know. I watched her interrogation, and you know, she showed emotions during it, and when she was at the police station, because they caught the girls the same day that Peyton was stabbed, she said that she no longer believed the Slender Man was real when she was in her interrogation, because he didn't come and help them when they were walking, trying to get to his mansion to live with him. He just completely ignored them. And then she's like, oh, and that's at that time I realized, yeah, he's not real. So I don't know if that was just, I don't know if she's one of these smart kids who's coming up with something to, you know, mask the fact that she just tried to kill one of her friends.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it almost sounds like they had some sort of grudge and did it for their own reasons and had this kind of bizarre cover story, but.
Well, given Morgan
what you said about Morgan. Yeah, it's
she didn't have a grudge. Like her and Peyton had been best friends for a long time, and Anissa had just come in like the year before. So, I think Morgan even said in her interrogation that Anissa didn't really like Peyton that much. you know. Mm-hmm. She said she called her a bitch at times, but
yeah, I don't know, so that for Anissa, it could be as much as taking the threat away, right? Because Morgan and Peyton were close, and Anissa mm-hmm. clearly wants to be close with Morgan, right?
Right.
She could be like getting rid of a rival.
It's possible. It's possible. Just using, you know, Slenderman as a way. I mean, maybe she even knew that there was something wrong with Morgan that would allow her to jump into this fantasy life. Because
right, and you got Morgan totally in her ear saying, like, "Yeah, this dude's real. It's totally legit. Like, we need to do this."
Yeah, and it was. It also came out that she, Morgan, that is, used to talk to like Harry Potter characters and mm-hmm. believe that they were real. Like, she had a relationship with one of them. There's a couple other things that, you know, should have. I mean, I'm not going to blame the parents, because everybody has, kids have an overactive imagination. So
yeah, imaginary friends and that.
Yeah. Well, at that age, probably not imaginary 12, friends, yeah. But, you know, just very rich lives. But I mean, Morgan was kind of, some of the drawings that they came up with were really dark that they found in a room, and like she had mutilated Barbie dolls. So it's kind of like, how do you not pick up on certain signs, you know? And I think her mom even said, because I was watching, there's a really good documentary on this on HBO Max. It's called Beware the Slender Man. And Morgan's mom was saying that she didn't, you know, even when she was younger, she didn't have the same kind of reactions that she thought a normal kid should, like, you know, movies and stuff like that. Like, she referenced Bambi, and when the mother died, she said that Morgan was just like, you know, run, Bambi, save yourself, instead of getting upset, you know, that Bambi's mom got shot by the stupid hunter. Whereas, like, I cried when Bambi's mom died. I think most kids probably did. I think
that was pretty universal on Bambi.
Yeah, but except for Morgan, you know, she's just like, no, Bambi, you got to save yourself. Forget about your mother, you know. But, and also, it came out that Morgan's dad also suffered from schizophrenia. So it runs in the blood.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, because they won't diagnose kids with schizophrenia, because, you know, the whole prefrontal lobe, whatever, is not fully developed yet, which I understand, but I understand, but I don't understand. Like, if you're schizophrenic early on, I don't think that's, I just can't imagine that's something that you could grow out of. Like, this Morgan kid, I think she's going to be, could, you know, without medication, be dangerous for her entire life. I don't see her growing
like
out of
that. I was saying, like, according to the DSM, right, the early onset cases actually tend to be the cases that are the most severe in later life.
Right. So, like, pre-serial killers, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
not that everyone would be a serial killer, but yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they would be the people that have the most disruption, right? So it's could lead to that. But I would think the only reason you would want to kind of hold back on a specific diagnosis is if somehow you could still treat without it, just because certain diagnoses, schizophrenia being one of them, they're like for life, right? So if somehow this person didn't end up with schizophrenia, they have that track history every time they go anywhere medically.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then it should be up to the presiding doctor to say, no, it's not schizophrenia, it's something else, you know.
In a perfect world.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I've heard horror stories, though, where people have been diagnosed and then the diagnosis was taken away and they've gone to other locations and they said, this isn't what's going on, because that diagnosis was actually taken away. And then mm-hmm. they slapped that diagnosis back on them without really doing too much actual interviews and questionnaires and all of the things that should be required to get you to where the person is.
Yeah. Our system's definitely flawed. I will say that for sure. And like I said, I'm not one to blame the parents. I mean, I think, you know, parents, you don't always know what's inside somebody's head. And if there's no outward signs, which I don't believe that for a second, I think Morgan probably showed signs. Well, we know she did because from what her mom said, but like Anissa, you know, her dad gave an interview talking about how, you know, she had a certain amount of time on her iPad and then she had to put it up and come downstairs, and that, you know, he was always, you know, they were always watching and monitoring, you know, what she did. And I guess they didn't think that Slender Man was a big deal. Cause I mean, it's just, it's a horror story, and you know, kids like horror stories. I mean, God, I was watching horror movies, I think when I was like 5 or 6 years old. So it's just one of those culture things, I think, but you know, it's, she didn't have any signs of anything being wrong. So I don't know. I mean, she's kind of an enigma to me, because I think she's a very intelligent girl who may have skated by on mental defect, but.
Yeah, I think that she, if I had to put a theory to it, like, was a person who really wanted a friend, really liked Morgan, and was just like, I'll do whatever she says. Like, she was very manipulated into it all, would be my guess. I could be wrong.
I think she was more, I mean, it depends on who you listen to, because in their interrogations, Anissa puts it all on Morgan as being, mm-hmm. you know, the aggressor. And, you know, Morgan's the one who actually stabbed Peyton. Anissa didn't. She stood there and, you know, helped hold her down and things like that, but she's not the one who actually stabbed her. But if you listen to Morgan's interview, she's like, it was all Anissa's idea, you know, so they both blame each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how, you know, schizophrenics, their minds will work as far as that. I mean, I would assume they could be manipulative, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're going with her being definitely schizophrenic, right, then she believes the Slender Man. She mm-hmm. probably hears voices from the Slender Man.
Yeah.
So she doesn't even have to be that manipulative. She'd be like, this is what's happening, right? Like,
yeah,
we need to do this. Like, he said yeah. so, right? I mean, so she wouldn't have to be like a great actress, because for her, it's all real.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's true. And that's like one of the things, like, if you don't, like, I think, if you commit to it, I guess he can read your thoughts or something like that. So if you commit to killing somebody to become one of his proxies, and he expects you to do it, and if you don't, he comes back and kills your family. So that's what she was thinking. You know, she says she didn't want to do it, but she was too afraid of what might happen if she didn't. So Anissa, I have my doubts that she truly, truly believed it. I think she just was going along with the crowd, because she didn't have any friends. I mean, those were literally her only two friends. You know, she was like an outsider. She's an outcast. And I would play the entire 2 hours of Morgan's interrogation, because from a psychological standpoint, it's really, really fascinating. But obviously, we're not going to do that. I am going to play some clips, and we can you know, discuss the psychology behind him and just kind of what we think is going on. Cause I mean, it really is fascinating. But just to get you up to speed with the actual stabbing part, it took place on May 31st, 2014. And Morgan was having a sleepover for her birthday. So Peyton and Anissa spent the night with her. The next morning, everything was normal. They got up, they had breakfast. They went to play in a park that was nearby. Well, they had actually been talking about doing this. I think they said since December. So, I mean, this is premeditated, and they told the cops this too, which we'll get to that in a minute. Cause this is another thing that makes me mad. I'm starting to think more like a defense attorney. It's kind of scaring me. I think Martina's rubbed off on me a little bit.
Rubbed off. Yeah.
Yeah. But they tricked Peyton into going a little bit deeper into the woods, and they weren't that far off from the road, but it was kind of like a dead end road. So there, you know, obviously weren't a lot of people around. Well, actually there was nobody around that day. So they tricked her into playing hide and go seek, and Morgan was the seeker and the two hid, and Anissa was trying to get her Peyton to lay down so that she could sit on top of her, and then Morgan was going to come over and, you know, do the stabbing. Morgan tried to get Anissa to stab, and she's like, no, I can't do this. I'm too squeamish, you know, things like that. So she didn't actually take part in the stabbing. But Morgan told Anissa that she wasn't going to do it until Anissa told her to. So Anissa, I guess, said something like, go ballistic, go crazy. And then that's when Morgan jumped on her, and she said something like, don't be afraid of me, I'm just a little kitty cat, or something like to her before she started stabbing her, I guess, which, okay, whatever, it's weird. But she ended up stabbing her 19 times, and they told her just to lay down, that she would lose blood slower if she just laid down and didn't move. And they said that they were going to go get help for her, which they left her, but they had absolutely no intention of getting her help. This kid, again, 12 years old, stabbed 19 times, crawled to this dead end road, and just by some miracle, this guy on a bicycle came by and saw her. And she was still alert, she was still conscious, and was still able to talk and tell him what happened. And he called 911. Of course, they came and got her, and she's fine. You know, she survived. She had to have some surgery, and I'm sure the mental part of it was intense for her, but she's okay. Thank God they didn't actually kill her. So,
I never had a friend again.
Well, no,
who would you trust?
No, from what I understand, from what I've read, because she, I think she only did one or two interviews, and one was a couple years later. You know, she didn't care about the publicity from it, obviously. But, you know, now she's, or was in college, and, you know, thriving. So she,
yeah, you would think she'd have like PTSD to the max, right? Like where she wouldn't speak to another girl again. Maybe I bet all her friends are dudes.
No, I don't think so. I think she even. I want to say she joined a sorority, but don't quote me on that. I can't remember correctly, but you know, she didn't let it hold her back. I mean, I'm sure she probably does have some PTSD. I mean, how could you not with something like that?
It'd be crazy. Yeah.
But I mean, it didn't, she's not letting it ruin her life, which is awesome. She's not letting it define her, I think is what she said, which is totally cool. I love this kid. So I'm going to start playing this interrogation. Because it's just, oh my God, it's so crazy.
You know, the one bad thing before you play that about her, this is a horrible sentence. I was going to say about her not dying. Obviously, it's great that she did. That's the best outcome.
Right.
But from like a legal standpoint, right, these people have more of a chance of not staying in jail for a long time, right? Because it's attempted murder now instead of murder. And they're young. They're pre-18.
Well,
so that's kind of all bothersome.
And we'll talk about the sentencing and everything after the interrogation and everything. But yeah, I mean, I agree with half of it, I guess. We'll put it that way. Let me cue this up here. I'm going to play three clips back to back to start with. And it's a little bit long, but we'll talk about everything that happened after the three clips I play.
How far off the road was it?
Not very.
And this is Morgan.
And then we stabbed her.
And you stabbed her?
With a knife.
You stabbed her from what?
Huh?
You stabbed her from what?
A knife.
How did you stab her?
I said stab.
Oh, stabbed her?
Mm-hmm.
So, this happened in the woods?
It wasn't in the woods, it was just a little group of trees.
So, like off, you know where Big Bend Road is?
Mm-hmm. It was by a dead end, and there was a red X.
How far off the road were you?
Not very, a few feet.
So, did you guys talk about doing this beforehand?
Anisha told me we had to.
Why?
Because she said that he'd kill our families.
Who's he?
A man. I didn't know him, but Anissa knew him.
How did she know him?
I don't know. Anissa told me about him.
So when you guys went back into the woods, did Peyton know anything about, or Bella know anything about this?
No.
Where'd you guys get the knife from?
My kitchen.
Your kitchen?
Anissa did.
So who left the house with it?
I think Anissa did. It was in the bag. Anissa packed the bag. Packed the bag. We knew about this since December. One day she just told me that we had to.
What do you mean she told you you had to?
I mean she told us we had to kill her.
Who did?
Anissa.
When she says us, what do you mean us? Who's us? You mean the two of you, or yeah. Somebody else?
There's nobody else.
So you guys have been playing this a while?
Since December. She was my best friend since fourth grade.
Who was?
Peyton.
So why did you pick Peyton?
I didn't pick her.
Who picked her?
Whoever Anissa was talking about. She made it seem necessary, and I figured if it was necessary, then I would.
So the person that talked to Anissa told them who to do it?
Yep. It was more of a message. I don't know. She didn't go very in-depth.
So what else have you guys been doing to plan for this? Just talking about it? The two of you? Has anybody else known about it?
No.
So how did you know how to... What were you trying to do with her when you stabbed her?
Kill her. I might as well just say it. We were trying to kill her. I don't know why it was necessary that it was her, but it seemed very necessary.
So Anissa told you that you guys should kill her?
Mm-hmm.
And she thought it was necessary?
She thought it was necessary.
So what happened when you guys walked down there today?
Down where?
Down on Big Bend Road, down by the trees. Tell me how this all happened.
Which trees? Like when?
The trees where she got hurt? Yeah. So hold on, back up a minute.
So where
did you guys get the knife from?
My kitchen, I just said that.
Okay. And who put it in the bag?
I think Anissa told me to. Anissa might as well. It's sort of foggy, because I've been trying to block it out.
So you're not sure who put it? Whose purse was that you guys had today?
It was my mommy's, but she gave it to me, I think, in, first grade with her dress up.
So you guys end up at your house. You guys get the knife from your house.
Mm-hmm.
Then you guys go down to the park.
My parents had nothing to do with this, I promise.
I believe you. They seem like very nice people. So you guys have been... when you said you guys have been playing this from December, when did you decide that you were going to do this today?
In December, she said.
But how'd you know that May 31st, 2014 was...
We didn't know it was going to be May 31st. We knew it was going to be at my birthday sleepover. You have no idea how difficult it was not to tell anyone. Truthfully told, I wanted to be locked up so that I couldn't hurt her, but that time has passed and now I'm in here because we were careless. I knew this would happen. I knew we'd get in trouble. don't know if it's actually why, though.
So you guys got the knife from your mom's house. You guys ended up going to the park.
Yeah.
And then you guys went down by the woods. Why did you guys go over by the woods?
Because we knew what we had to do. We led her there and tricked her. The last thing she said to me was, I trusted you. And then she said, I hate you. And then we lied to her. And Anissa said that she'd go get help. I didn't have anything to do with the lying. Well, that was all Anissa. She said we were going to go get help.
How did you trick her to get down there?
We said that we were going to go bird watching. People who trust you become very gullible. And it was sort of sad. Not like offensive. Well, that's sad, but it was sad to do this.
So you guys told me you were going down there to birdwatch, and then what happened?
And then we said that we were going to play hide and seek, and then Anissa jumped her, and then it was like, it happened really fast, and I keep trying to forget.
So you're going to play hide and seek?
Mm-hmm. Because normally we like playing hide-and-seek, because hide-and-seek's a fun game. I like hiding.
So yeah, and then Anissa jumped her?
Mm-hmm. And she said Morgan, now. Well, actually she said Kitty, because our code names for each other were Scorpion and Kitty. She was Scorpion because she tends to be aggressive, things like that.
So she said Kitty now, and what did that mean?
My name was Kitty because, well, she sort of, I have four cats at home, and she says that I act like a cat sometimes.
She said Kitty now, what did she do?
Then we stabbed her.
Who stabbed her first?
I think Anissa stabbed her first, and then I continued, and then like she was like, Morgan, make sure she doesn't escape. And then it was like,
So you think that it was Anissa first?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yeah. Not really. It's sort of confusing because I've been trying to block out the screams all day.
So then how did you get the knife from Anissa?
She sort of just shoved it into my hand, and there it was. And then I didn't know what I did. It sort of just happened. It didn't feel like anything. It was like air.
So she put the knife in your hand, and what'd you do?
Then I just continued to. You know what happened, didn't you?
I actually really don't. Somebody else is talking to her.
Anissa.
So you continued to stab her?
Mm-hmm. And then we decided that, and then Anissa said that it was enough, and then Bella was like, I can't see, and then I said, I'm sorry. This had to happen, and she was like, why? And then I said that it was necessary. I can't explain why. Please don't cut off my head.
Nobody's gonna cut off your head. How many times do you think you stabbed her?
I don't know. It happened very quickly. All I heard was screaming.
How many times did you guess?
I don't know.
One thing I do want to say before we jump into this.
Yeah.
Shame on both of their parents for letting them talk to her. Them. Because they should have told the girls to shut the hell up and got an attorney to start with.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. She definitely incriminates herself, but yes. Through blaming Anissa for everything. Like, yeah. I just really quickly towards the end jotted down the things I remembered, but I'm sure if you went back, you could use this as a good drinking game of every time she says, oh, Anissa, because yeah. Anissa grabbed the knife. I think Anissa stabbed her first. Mm-hmm. Anissa is the one that talked to the man. Anissa said it was necessary. Anissa's the one that initiated the lies. It wasn't me. Like that's an important factor. She's like, we lied and said she was going to get help, but it was Anissa who did the lying, not me. Like, you yeah. just stabbed a girl 19 times. No one cares who lied, right?
Yeah. But the thing about this, too, is, like, this is a 12-year-old kid who is being interrogated by the cops for attempted murder.
Yeah.
She's not showing any fear whatsoever. She's
no fear.
Actually, like,
no fear and zero remorse. Bored. Even when she said it was kind of sad, because she trusted me so much, she didn't mean. And if you look at the context clues of her statement, it was sad that I was stabbing my best friend and I felt horrible. Yeah. It was kind of sad how pathetic she was crying out for help and trusting me.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right. It was like, what?
Yeah,
my whole point of all these Anissa comments is bullshit. Bullshit. Oh, yeah.
Well, Anissa, I'm not saying Anissa's not guilty.
I'm saying that the fact that Anissa put the knife in my hand, bullshit.
Which isn't true, because, this is going back to Anissa's statement. She said that Morgan is the one who took the knife out of the kitchen, and she actually put it like in her pant loops, like kind of down her pants, because she said when they were walking towards the park that Morgan had lifted up her jacket to show Anissa the knife.
Yeah.
And
right. And she says that Anissa grabbed a knife. Then later she says, I can't remember. She might have told me to put it in the bag. It's all cloudy. I blocked it out of my mind. Right.
Yeah.
So she number one, she knows enough about, she's smart enough to realize where her defense is going. This whole blocked it out of my mind thing, she's already starting to claim like situational like amnesia from this traumatic event that occurred. But then number two, she's blaming the fact that she's blaming Anissa for everything. It all takes me straight back to Bambi. I mean, save yourself. Oh, every single thing could not have been Anissa. If every single thing was Anissa, you would have told on Anissa to your parents like in December, right? But she says everything was Anissa.
But she also, you know, I think she said in this part too that she didn't want to do it, but she had to because it was necessary. And that's like her
but
line.
She got that from Anissa.
I just, right? I mean,
I'm not saying Anissa's innocent, but I do think right. Anissa was pushed into this. And I think that clearly Morgan, from saying Anissa 10,000 times, was the ringleader of this.
Well, I think Morgan was definitely, I think they both played their part in it. I think Anissa did a lot of the planning, quote unquote. But when it came to the actual doing of it, that was Morgan saying, you know, being gung-ho and pushing forward. And saying,
I could see that, because initially, before we listened to these clips, my thought was, you've got two kids playing fantasy, but only one kid's playing. And what I mean by that is Anissa probably came up with all this elaborate stories and things and presents them to Morgan, not realizing that her friend has some severe mental disablements, right? She's right. got some severe issues, and that she's believing everything she says. And it is possible that Anissa went there thinking they're just playing, like the same way you'd play cooking with some fake food and whatever, you know, playing house. And they're going out there and they're like, yeah, we're going to do this thing. And then it was going to be this play attack. And the next thing you know, her friend's jumping on the girl, stabbing her 19 times, right? That is possible. That Anissa
knew what was going on, but
thought it was not going to happen.
I don't know. I think she knew it was going to happen. She just knew she wasn't going to be the actual one doing it.
Yeah, so thought maybe she'd get some leniency, or at that, in a kid's mind, probably thought she'd get off scot-free.
I don't know. I mean, because she, like I said, she's kind of an enigma to me, because I don't know how much she really believed and how much she's just using as, you know, a cover my ass type of situation.
Yeah.
It's very, like, Morgan, I know, is batshit crazy, okay? And I'm sorry, that's being flippant, but, you know, she obviously has mental problems.
Yes, that's a given. She's definitely, but I think she knows what she's doing. I don't think she's...
Oh, I don't think she's...
...able to plead any sort of insanity on this. I think she knew what she was doing.
Well, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but yeah, I mean,
well,
yes,
I mean,
and no.
I'm
yes
sure
and
she
no.
does plead insanity. I don't think that I think she seems to me like she's the ringleader, that she's kind of pushing the other friend around. But the other friend, I'm not saying she's innocent. I'm saying that, like, Morgan didn't get a knife stuck in her hand. I believe what you said. She took it from the kitchen. She had it with her. She took it and stabbed the girl. Like, and then the fact that she's talking about how she doesn't know who this man Anissa talks to is and stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. You're not going to randomly kill your best friend if you don't have the details.
That's what I didn't understand either when she was talking about it. Because, I mean, she clearly did, because she was as much into Slender Man as Anissa was.
Right. She was playing dumb in the interview.
Yeah, I think she's...
And everything was cloudy, and I blocked out the screams, and now I can't remember half of the stuff. It's like, okay, right.
I think they're both very intelligent girls, and I think Morgan was trying to manipulate the situation as best she could. But,
yeah,
you know, at the same time, you still have this mental disorder, you know, because she truly did believe that Slender Man was real and that she, you know, killing Peyton. By the way, they call her Bella because that was one of her nicknames, I guess, in first grade. There were two Peytons in the class. So her friend Peyton said, just call me by my middle name, Bella. So if you hear her say Bella, it's the same. Peyton and Bella are the same person. I don't know. It's just, I mean, you have to obviously have something wrong to think that it's necessary and that you have to kill your best friend. I mean, you can't, you know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not saying by any means that she is just like every other little kid you meet. There's something wrong with her for sure. I'm saying I don't think that she's cloudy on the details. And I don't think that she really believes that Anissa made her do all this stuff.
No, I don't. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I mean, I think she's doing what every other kid would do. You know,
she's saving her tail.
Yeah,
she's saving her tail. That's why I say it reminds me of the Bambi. She's forgetting about the mother and saving her tail.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me play this next clip because it kind of folds into what we were talking about.
Will I regret giving you this information later?
You know, this information is going to use to try to get you some help so you don't have to hear those screams and don't have to worry about hurting anybody anymore.
Okay.
That's my goal here, okay? So we got to figure out how we're going to do that.
I honestly feel, and I don't want to just like judge a human being because I just heard this guy for the first time in the last, you know, these few snippets, but he seems super genuine. And I think he realizes that this child needs some mental attention, right? I think he does want to get her help and does want her not to hurt anyone anymore. But being convicted or put in some sort of long-term mental facility is the way to have that occur, right? So I believe
him. I don't think she needs to be locked up in prison because that's not...
Yeah, she needs to be in a facility. But as far as will she regret saying all those things, yes, 100% should not. Like, you're right, her parents shouldn't let this
switch
be happening.
Again. I can't believe her parents didn't.
I mean, because if she had held her tongue and they got her a lawyer, not that it's the right thing to do, but with the lawyer's help, they could have formulated a plan to make it look like this was all Anissa.
Well,
that was believable, and not with her just being like, Anissa did that. Oh, that one was Anissa. Yep, that's Anissa.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem with that is that Peyton lived, and
yeah, that's a big problem.
You know, Anissa didn't do any of the stabbing. It was all Morgan.
Yeah.
So that kind of throws a wrench into that kind of defense. But, you know, at the same time, I just, it's awful. And you obviously care about what happened to Peyton. But at the same time, if it was my kid, I'd be like, you're not talking to her, number one, without me there. And number two, without a lawyer being there. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, think I'm about, still.
You know, we were talking about how Peyton's gone on to like lead a pretty normal life and she's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the trauma and fear you'd have to face knowing that both these girls are like still out there.
Well, yeah. And that's something we'll get into when we talk about the sentencing too, because, well, I'll save that for later.
Okay.
Let me play this next clip here. I mean, it's, this next one's really, it's creepy.
The other ones weren't.
Okay. Well, yeah, this one's even more so. Yeah. The other ones were, I mean, the whole thing is creepy. It's very chilling, I mean, but
to me, it's super creepy because she's like child of the corn. Like she's like,
oh my God. And, yeah. That's great right, analogy.
Right. She's being talked to about attempting to murder her best friend who she's just stabbed 19 times. And right. She's like, oh yeah, we were going to the woods and we stabbed her. Yeah. I can't remember who had the knife. I think it was Anissa, but now I have it. And it just exactly. went in my hand. And
I mean, she's so kind of pathetic about
how
it.
Sad she, it was kind of pathetic that she trusted me. Like, yeah, she's just super upbeat. Like you would think you were talking to her about like My Little Pony.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a normal reaction. Like if I had just stabbed somebody 19 times as a normal person, quote unquote, I would be having problems talking. I mean, she's yes. just like, this is just like her recanting, you know, a day yes. of school of what happened on yes, the playground.
It's her tone is unnerving. Because even if she didn't care about her friend,
mm-hmm.
she also has no concern for where she ends up. She's got no, she's not, she's this, like you said, from the get-go, this is a child that has no fear. Because her question should have been, oh my gosh, am I going to regret saying these things to you? But she said, am I going to regret saying this stuff to you? Right? Like, probably, little girl, why are you so happy? I don't understand.
Oh, and it was cut out of this particular clip or the one I have up right now, but there was a part where the detective had to leave the room and she gets up and starts dancing.
Believe it.
Yeah. Just, you know, for no reason, she's just dancing and looking like she's having a good old time. Like, it's just a field trip. Just, I'll be going home in a couple hours. But let me play this clip because it's, yeah.
So you guys just kept going forward until the police stopped you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what happened to the knife after Peyton got stabbed?
I put it back in the bag and walked.
Did you clean it all?
Not really. I sort of wiped it off on my jacket. It was weird. I felt no remorse. I thought I would.
Well, that's honest.
Right?
I still have this idea in my head that it was necessary.
So you didn't feel any, it was weird that you didn't feel remorse?
Mm-hmm. I actually felt nothing. Anissa had me sing for her. Because she said she was scared. And she wondered what we'd gotten ourselves into this time.
Yeah,
she's wondered what she's gotten herself into this time.
This time, right? That's a little bit strange statement. But then also, I feel like she's finally admitting, like, after all these Anissa, she's like, Anissa was scared and wondered what we got. So Anissa's worried, but
Anissa wanted me to sing for her.
Sing for her.
Like, that's like, I mean, you just stabbed your best friend and you're going to sit there and break into song because your other best friend.
No, I mean, even if your friend is Celine Dion, It's not the appropriate time.
No, it's so not. I mean, she's nothing about her is appropriate in this. I mean, it's so opposite of how this kid should be reacting.
But my guess is that that was partially reality. But my guess is they're walking. This girl's horrified. And she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you actually did it. I can't believe you actually did it. We're going to get in serious trouble. And she's like, do you want me to sing for you so you feel better? Like, that's probably what really happened.
I don't know. I mean, I can't. It's so weird because, like, these girls, as they were walking, they walked for like 5 hours before they were picked up. And they went into a couple stores. They went into Walmart to go into the bathroom and clean the blood off and get more water. Okay. I get that it's Walmart, but you see two young girls with blood on them and nobody said a damn thing. That's what it's just like, wow. That's one thing that I did that was very
right. I mean, you would assume that they just escaped an abduction or something, right? Like,
right. You might be a little bit concerned and be like, you know, what the hell happened? But no, they
wouldn't be worried about them cleaned off and went on their way. Be worried about like their well-being,
right? Exactly. I mean, just the whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, I don't know.
Clearly, Morgan not real good with forensics and stuff. It's like, I just kind of wiped it on my jacket, you know. That's
put it back in the bag, you know. It's only a murder weapon, but that, you know, hey, I'll hang on to it. That's
wow.
I guess in her mind, part of her thought she wasn't going to get caught, although she does mention that a little bit. But it's the whole thing of her saying this time at the end, like, I wonder if what the hell else they've done that nobody knows about that, you know, is awful.
Yeah.
Because this next clip is makes me wonder even more what those two have concocted, you know, while they were together.
So have you guys thought about hurting anybody else or just Bella?
Sometimes Anissa slaps people in the face for no reason, like me.
How about stabbing people? Never thought about stabbing anybody else?
Only jokingly. Not seriously thought about it.
So not really or not seriously?
Not really. I've wanted to hurt people before, but they're not nice to me, so they deserve it.
But Bella's nice to you. Why did you want to hurt her?
Because it was necessary.
Why was it necessary?
I don't know.
So who's been your friend? Who do you know longer, Anissa or Bella?
Katie.
Who's Katie?
She was my friend, but then she left.
Why did Katie leave?
Because she had to move.
What does Katie have to do with this?
She was my friend for the longest. She was my friend before any of them. But out of the two, I've known Bella the longest.
So why did you decide to stand Bella?
It was necessary.
Did you feel bad? Maybe just stab one of your best friends.
I thought about it, but then I decided that remorse will get me nowhere. It's easier to live without regrets if you can just decide that you don't want to feel.
Wow.
Kid. But notice how she didn't say, when he asked her, you know, why did you stab Peyton? She didn't say, well, Anissa said we had to. She's like, it was necessary.
Yeah.
But notice how her tone's going down a little bit. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think she's feeling bad. I think she's just
I think she's getting tired and agitated. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Agitated.
But,
I'm so glad you said that.
She's 12, right? 12. I would say for me personally, being a little bit of a slow learner and whatnot, to actually have like decent emotion regulation for me was at least mid-20s. Uh-huh. She's like, I just decided that I wasn't going to be remorseful. At age 12, I have the ability just to not feel sad because I thought it wouldn't get me anywhere. It's like, children don't have that ability, so there's something wrong.
Well, yeah, because I mean,
we don't have the ability to not feel sad when we've done something we don't want to do.
Or feel, you know, bad about it, or,
right,
you know, have second thoughts of, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know, that probably was not the best thing.
She decided that remorse was not beneficial to her, so she didn't feel sad.
Right.
People don't have that capability unless there's something wrong.
Unless you're kind of devoid of emotions, yes, in some manner. Because I think a quote unquote normal person causing injury to another person would have some kind of feeling about it. Unless they are animal abusers, and no, I wouldn't feel bad about that at all. But that's just me. But going back to the agitation, yeah, wait till you see this. The next couple clips, I wanted to slap her. I don't know how this detective kept his composure. I mean, he was, if you watch the whole thing, there's a couple times where I'm just like, because his phone rang 3 or 4 times and he would answer it right then and there in front of her and talk to whoever it was on the other line. I'm just like, get off the fucking phone and continue the interrogations. That kind of bugged me about him. But I mean,
unless it was on purpose, like he had people calling him to interrupt the interview so that he could go back and ask her the same stuff and see if it was the same.
Hmm. Well, that's true. That's true.
Because a lot of times they'll leave the room for that, but he might have had someone just call as a distraction so he didn't have to keep getting up and leaving.
Mm, that's a good point. Stupid interrogation.
So then after the bathroom, where'd you go down?
I already told you.
Where is it?
Over by the trees at the dead end.
And what'd you do there?
Stabby, stab, 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 stab. Hide and seek.
What's that?
I already told you.
Okay. The stabby, stab, stab. She sounded bored saying that. I mean, boredom should not be one of the emotions she should be feeling right now. Yeah. That's, oh Lord.
I mean, this looks like what, maybe a 2-hour interview?
Yeah, it's a 2-hour.
Right. Like, so, I mean, she's a child with a low attention span and she's probably in her mind, like, what is happening? I've completely confessed to this crime and I'm still being asked questions, right? She's answering the same questions over and over again, even though she's thoroughly said, yes, I stabbed this person 19 times.
Yeah. Like, well, and right now we're only halfway through the interrogation. So she's still got another hour to go before, you know, they take her to some mental health facility for kids. But yeah, I mean, it's so weird. I mean, just kind of, I don't know, her juxtaposition is just so off, especially like there's just, I don't know. It's just weird seeing a kid with no emotions, you know. It's very, very creepy. Cue this next one up here.
I wouldn't even say no emotions. I would say the wrong emotions, right? She clearly gets agitated, so she can get angry, but like she doesn't have the sadness that should be involved with this. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's something you had planned for like a year and
right,
you know, you think you'd still be like, oh my gosh, can't believe I did that, right?
Yeah, but not her.
No.
This kid has no empathy whatsoever, except, you know, maybe for her own well-being.
But to me, she does seem extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because she looks small. Like, she looks younger than 12. And then she uses words that I wouldn't think she would use. But maybe they are normal 12-year-old words. But she looks like she's about 8.
Well, you can't really see her because she's kind of hunched out.
Yeah.
Curled up in the chair. But her and Anissa both used words that
big
I didn't
words, think right?
were, yeah, 12-year-old appropriate, you know.
Not even saying it was necessary. You would think a 12-year-old would be like, they told me I had to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not it was necessary.
And just the way she speaks as well is like very, it's very matter of fact, but it's also very, clear.
It is like, very clear.
She enunciates everything very well. Like, and I wouldn't, you know, like my country accent comes out a lot. So like my words get shortened quite a bit. Like you don't hear that from her.
Yeah. But going back to the Children of the Corn reference, the same way Malachi talked, the same way mm-hmm. the little girl talked when they find the little girl and the little boy together alone. I'm sorry for all the people who haven't seen Children of the Corn. So yeah, I'll cut that dialogue off. But there's almost a menacing element to her upbeatness where it's like, not really. I had the knife. You know what I mean? It's not like a normal kid, even when they're happy and not talking about something horrific that occurred. It's like, it's almost like she's like, I'm smarter than you and I'm going to win.
Yeah. And if I were in this room sitting there, I, especially when she gets testy a little bit later, I would be nervous. Like, what? I know there's, she didn't have any weapons, but I don't know. She might try to bite my throat out or something. I don't know. It's, she's creepy. Right.
Well, you remember our Stephanie Lazarus case?
Yeah.
She was in the interview when she was being interrogated. She was very much, I didn't do anything. This is crazy. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell there was a shift of when she realized that they thought she did it, where she was extremely nervous, extremely scared that something, that she was going to be put away.
Mm-hmm.
This girl has no fear of being put away. She has no concern that her friend's dead. Like she almost like, I feel like she's like almost taunting this dude.
Well, I mean, obviously she knows she did something wrong because she said a couple times in the interview, you know, am I going to be regretting telling you this stuff? And
yeah,
she even at one point said, please don't cut off my head, you know, and it's just like, excuse me.
But even that to me didn't seem like she was really concerned with. She said her hand, right?
No, head.
Oh, head, right. Like, it didn't sound like she's really concerned. Like, she knows that's not really going to happen. That was, like, the one time where she sounded sort of nervous, but it was about something irrational, right? Like, if she said, please don't lock me away forever, then I'd be like, all right, this little girl's scared to be put away, right?
No, but like, it was like, please don't cut off my head. Decapitate me.
Yeah,
cut off my head, something like that.
That's not even a reasonable thing. And immediately, he's like, no one's going to cut off your head. Like, he said it like, I know you don't really believe that, right? Like, her only concern was something that didn't even make sense.
Right, exactly. Let me play this next clip.
I didn't want to do this.
Why'd you do it then?
Because I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't.
What do you mean you're afraid?
If that's what I said, I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't.
Afraid from who?
Everything. Something could have happened. Whatever Misha was talking about.
Hold on 1 second, okay? I'll be right back. Okay?
I was scared for whatever was going to happen from whatever Anissa was talking about. Like,
right.
Normal human beings are not going to kill someone unless they have every detail of why this is absolutely 100% necessary. She's like, I don't know. She was talking about some thing and it said it was probably what we had to do. And I'm like, then I went with it. It's like, makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. That's what I don't understand is that she's so upfront about what happened, except for
the Slender Man.
Yeah. It's like, she's, I mean, part of me wonders, like, I mean, is her mind really so dysfunctional that she is forgetting that aspect of everything? Or are the voices in her head saying, don't talk about Slender Man?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to like talk to people about how she gets her diagnoses and whatnot. It's like, to me, there's definitely a lot wrong. Some mm-hmm. psychotic tendencies, obviously, and things like that. But I don't really see schizophrenia. I don't see her having delusional. People could argue this So definitely a controversial statement. I don't see her as having delusions or seeing hallucinations. I see her as someone who's making up stories.
Yeah, but I don't think she believes them, so isn't that delusion?
I don't think
she does. I think she fully, wholeheartedly did.
Then why wouldn't she say the Slender Man? He can't go to jail.
Because I think she is...
It's almost like she formulated the Slender Man afterwards, but they both have the same story, right? Later, find out they both are talking about the Slender Man.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's, you know, part of her's in that cover my ass mode, and why she thinks, you know, I don't know if she thinks it's worse to say that she believes in a fictional character or as opposed to trying to murder somebody. So yeah. I don't know if she's thinking
maybe,
you know,
but then there is also be better the possibility than a mental hospital. That maybe the Slender Man is telling her in her delusion not to talk about him.
That's true. It could be because, I mean, I know she was thoroughly vetted by psychiatrists and that every one of them have said that she wholeheartedly believed that the Slender Man was real. So I don't know. I mean, she's a complex girl. But this next part,
honestly, it seems to me that the world is very lucky that she did this crime. The person survived, and she did it early enough that she's taken out of society, because she would have been a lot of trouble had she grown up and this had manifested to its full capacity.
Well, I wonder if she would have done something to her family eventually down the road.
I mean, yeah, she's the type that could have done that, right? For sure. Or if like she keeps hanging out with this girl, right? I mean, this went from the attempt to kill one person.
This could have been a total partnership.
This is like this could have been like the school shooters, right? This could have been elaborate. So, I mean, sorry for Peyton for sure and the trauma that she went through, but
you may have taken one for
the
team.
The best case scenario of how it all unfolded.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing is just, it's very bizarre. I've got two more clips to play, and then we can talk about the sentencing of these two young ladies.
And then Anissa jumped on Bella again, like I just said.
And then what happened?
Are you trying to do this over and over again and see if I tell the story differently?
I'm just trying to make sure that I get it right, that I don't want to make any mistakes. So then she jumped on her, and where did you get the knife from?
The bag.
So you took the knife out of the bag?
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
And then she got stabbed.
Who stabbed her?
Both of us.
Who stabbed her first?
How am I supposed to remember that?
No, this is just pretty important, so just gotta try to concentrate.
Anissa or me, one of the two, of course, but I don't know.
But you stabbed her for sure?
Yeah, of course I stabbed her for sure. What are you, stupid?
Yeah, when she's like putting on lip gloss or something. Like,
that's her inhaler.
Sure. What was it?
That's her inhaler.
Oh, and she's taking a puff. So maybe she's getting a little agitated. But, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's a mess. I mean, clearly in her story. But that shows how intelligent she is. She knows exactly what's going on. That's why I say she thinks she's got the upper hand in it all. She's like, are you just asking these over and over again to see if I tell a different story? It's like, why would she know that?
She's not stupid.
No, she's not stupid at all. But her story does change. Because she went from Anissa stabbed her first, and then she put the knife in my hand and I stabbed her, to now, how am I supposed to remember who stabbed her first?
Right.
Look, Mandy, if you and me went out and started stabbing someone, we would both remember who stabbed first.
Well, especially since Anissa didn't stab her at all. You know, that kind of, you know, throws off things a little bit. Yeah, She's not stupid. Not stupid at all. This last clip shows she's definitely not stupid.
Did you have been late first, or did she?
I have the right not to go into detail about it if I don't want to.
Okay. Before you said you didn't remember, you remember, you just don't want to tell me?
I don't really remember. It happened really, really fast.
Stabbed her a couple times?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think it was?
I don't know. I didn't know I was supposed to count.
How many do you think? Like one or two or five?
I don't know.
Or 10, 50, 100? I don't know.
I think she'd be dead if it was 100.
I don't know how the cop did it, because I would have been like, stop being a smartass and answer my fucking questions.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't know I was supposed to count. The hell's wrong with her. Whoa.
Right? That's what, oh God.
Yeah, she's Craig. It was like, yeah, very, very frightening. I'm actually scared for... In my mind, in a time machine, I'm scared for everyone that knew her prior to this incident. I'm like, how did her family raise her? Like, how did her parents deal with this child that has no concern for it? Like, I mean, if she has no remorse over stabbing her friend, she has zero remorse for dropping the glass of milk on the floor, for, I don't know if she had siblings, but for smacking her brother across the face, for stealing from her mom's purse. Like, if there's no remorse for this major crime, nothing she's ever done in her life to the point of 12 years old has she actually felt bad for. How could you be her parent?
Well, that's the thing, because they said it was early onset. So, I mean, maybe she didn't exhibit a lot of in your face signs, you know, because she was only 12. So,
right. But think about all of the times you got in trouble prior to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got in trouble, you were remorseful. I mean, I remember telling my mom, I'm so sorry, and crying and be like, please don't be mad at me. And, you know, over things that occurred. Could you imagine if you had a child? Well, maybe you weren't, but did you at least change your actions?
Well, I mean, I was...
Or were you just a bad kid? Or were you a good kid and didn't really have a lot of bad time?
I mean, I was a pretty good kid. I was a pretty good kid, pretty good teenager, actually.
I was too, but I remember getting in trouble. And I remember feeling bad. What I'm saying is, like, up till this person's taken away from them, I feel like anytime she's gotten in trouble in the past, she's been like, I don't care. Like, that would make it
really
rough.
Well, and maybe the parents are just like, okay, she's just a defiant kid. Okay, maybe. She's strong-willed, strong personality. Because that's
maybe. And I mean, this
that's kind of how I am. Because I mean,
she's done.
You've known me for a long time. How many times will I ever admit that I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Fair. See? And I'm not psychopathic, I don't think. So, well, I mean, I am getting better. I'm not as I'm right all the time. But most of the time, I am right. No, but yeah, I mean, she could have just been like a defiant kid, or maybe she was just a really good kid anyway, you know? But I don't know. I mean, because nobody's ever really said anything, or maybe, you know, in the back of their mind, they're like thinking, God, maybe she's got what her dad has, you know?
Yeah.
Because her dad, like I said, it was diagnosed with schizophrenia. So the stabbing and, you know, the interrogation, everything happened on the same day. It was May 31st, 2014. The trial and everything took forever, of course, like it always does, because they first had to decide whether or not they were going to try them as adults versus juvenile, which eventually they were tried as adults. up to that point, I know that they were both pleading not guilty by reason of mental defect. But once they got into the adult court, I guess the lawyers had to switch tactics and they both ended up taking plea deals. August of 2017, this is 3 years after the, you know, incident, Anissa, she pled guilty to attempted second degree homicide as a party to a crime with the use of a deadly weapon. And I guess they had to decide whether or not her mental condition at the time should make her legally responsible for the crime. In December of 2017, she was committed to 25 years to the Winnebago Mental Health Institute. Now, February of 2018, Morgan, she was ordered, committed to 40 years of mental health treatment and monitoring, and she's will have to remain at a secure mental health institute. So your earlier comments about Peyton, you know, knowing that these two are still out there. Well, Morgan's locked up. She's not going anywhere.
Yeah, for a long, long time. I figured they were in either prison or a facility, but they still are there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, like,
but I mean,
we've all seen too many Halloween movies. Like, we don't feel that that means that they're never going to be seen again, right? I mean,
right.
It'd be a lot easier if the person wasn't still alive, right? But these people are... I mean, well, I guess that happens to a lot of people. Most people, well, no, most people don't survive this kind of crime.
Right.
That's the thing. It's not the fact that these people are locked up. It's like, or not, you know, whether or not they're locked up. It's the fact that she's a rare survivor of that kind of crime, right? Most people aren't alive to worry anymore.
Well, and the doc, because obviously she had to go into surgery when she was got to the hospital. And the doctor said if the knife had been the width of a hair length over more, she wouldn't have survived, because I think it probably would have severed one of her arteries to her heart. So, I mean, talk about luck. I mean, this kid was shit, really. I mean, this is something I think that can only, if she, the way she's playing it, can only make her a stronger person. I think it really has. And, you know, I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason, good and bad. So this is, you know, I don't know. I mean, Morgan obviously can't hurt anybody anymore, hopefully. I haven't really researched too much into her now, but Anissa, on the other hand, in September of last year, 2021, she, actually September 13th, she was released from the mental health mental health institute, and she has to wear a GPS tracking device, and she's supervised with case managers until she's 37 years old. So she's out in the community. And last I read, she has like a part-time job. I don't know if she's living with her parents or if she's like actually on her own or like in a group home, but either way, she's out and about and she has her freedom, you know.
Yeah.
A few years after, what is it, 7 years later?
Yeah.
Because she was deemed as not... Well, they said that she was not no longer a danger to herself or to society.
Herself or others. Yeah, and I have probably some very controversial, probably you would dispute what I would say on that as well.
What?
I agree 100%. I think that she was kind of pushed into all this. I don't think she... I do think that she was part of the planning, but I think to her it was all a fantasy. And I think when her friend jumped on the other friend and started going crazy, she's like, oh my god, what the heck just happened, and then was completely traumatized on the walk home, and then her friend's trying to sing to her, and it's weird. And I don't think she is a danger to herself or others. I think she had the bad happenstance of having a best friend when she had no other friends that was at a level of mental disability that she was super manipulative, super controlling. And yeah, no, I think that especially with the tracking device, I feel like she should be, I think this was all fair.
She's like what, 19 or 20 now. So obviously she's matured more, I hope.
Yeah.
But if she was so easily manipulated, and again, I know she was 12 at the time, but I mean, what's the possibility of her? When I look at her, I see this is the kind of person who would join a cult. That's the mentality
exactly,
that I see.
Exactly. And when people get out of cults that survive that lifestyle and make it out, they're all on documentaries saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was in a cult. Right. Like, it's like a one-time deal.
I hope so. I mean, I hope that she becomes a good member of society and, you know, does something with her life. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I could be like Peyton and be like, just, I might go after her if it were me, if I were Peyton.
Except I think Peyton, you said Peyton said that she didn't stab her at all. I think Peyton has to know to an extent that this girl was kind of just, she did hold her down though, right?
I think she was sitting on her or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely was part of it. I'm not saying she was innocent, but
after the incident, Peyton said that she thought Morgan should go to prison for the rest of her life and that Anissa should also go to prison, but not for as long. Yeah. So I guess she didn't harbor as much ill will towards, you know, Anissa, because she didn't do the actual stabbing, but
yeah.
Ew, it's just like, God.
I think the scariest thing of, if I had to, I said I 100% believe in these sentences. I actually don't. I don't think 40 years is enough for Geyser.
You think it should be life?
Morgan. I mean, I can't see her being safe. She's still going to be pretty young. Right, she would be like 52 years old.
Yeah,
and she's gonna. And at that point, we already had major issues occurring by the time she was 12. Like I said, DSM says that anyone that has an early onset schizophrenia like that is someone who's predispositioned to have the worst case schizophrenia, and this person's going to spend their whole life in a care facility, not the normal world.
Right.
And at the age of 52, we're going to thrust them back into the normal world. It's almost not even fair to Morgan. Like, well, she's not going to be productive in the normal world at age 52.
Well, I mean, you're assuming that once she's released, she's not, it's going to be a full release and not conditional. You know?
I mean,
if she has mental issues,
she would have to at least have outpatient care for sure. But this is my whole point, reasoning of it. 52 years old, even if she's out and has outpatient care, her parents may or may not still be alive at that point.
Right.
So we don't know that she's going to have familial support. She has no friends. So she's not going to have any sort of friend base.
Well, we don't know that. I think it's
dangerous to put her out. I mean, what, you think she's got like pen pals and stuff like that?
I mean, it's possible. I mean,
I don't even know if they let you. I mean, I don't know if it's the same as prison. Like, are you allowed to write to? I guess.
I mean, I guess it depends on.
I would think if it was a stranger, they wouldn't allow it. It's got to be like family and friends that would. Or people.
I mean, I guess it would depend on her treatment and, you know, her doctor and stuff. But
yeah,
and the obviously, the, you know, the topics and what's being discussed.
Yeah. I mean, it is also possible, too, that this is 40 years minimum and that it's kind of like reassess at that time.
Well, I mean,
if after 40 years, she's like hella dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're just going to be like, yep, let her go. Right.
No, because they have a responsibility to the community to do that.
Right.
If something happens, they can be held liable for it. But I mean, and I think the problem with this is that she's so young that nobody wants to, and I think a lot of, and I'll have to ask, we'll have to ask Martina because I can't really remember, but I think a lot of states adopted the, you know, if a minor, a child, you know, under 16 or something commits a heinous act, that they can't be locked up for the rest of their lives, that it's not, it's inhumane to be locked up for the rest of their lives for something that they did as, you know, influenced child.
I don't know. Yeah, we'd have to ask Martina. Because if she tries an adult, I would think anything like that would be thrown out the window.
I don't know. It's a weird situation, but I mean.
Yeah, but at least I mean, but if you're help. Right. Yeah. But if you're right that exists, then it almost has to apply here. And the reasoning of that thought is the only way that you would be tried as an adult is if the crime is heinous enough.
Right.
Right. So
if it wasn't heinous enough and you were tried as a juvenile, then there wouldn't even be the question of locking you up for life.
Well, no, they would just be locked up till they're 18 and then set free.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know, and I hope that Anissa, you know, doesn't fall back into old habits, you know, and hopefully Morgan's getting the treatment she needs and, you know, Peyton seems to be doing well. So I guess the story ends with a happy ending.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
Oh, just that little girl is very unnerving. So I hope she gets the treatment she needs.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to the interrogation video in the description of our podcast, because if you're interested in anything psychological, this is one that you definitely want to watch, because it is chilling, and it's also very fascinating just to see how this kid's mind is operating throughout this entire thing. But thank you so much for tuning into another one of our episodes. As always, we love coming to you and presenting our fun psychological insights. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at abysspodcast1. Have a great day.
Adios.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss Podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooky stuff.